KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Here's your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Richard Battle joining us now, as he does every Wednesday. Richard, how goes the battle down in Texas? Pardon the pun.
John, it's so great to be with you again, and every day brings new revelations.
Yes, it does. Yeah, and, you know, there was some good news, I think, at least for me, there was some good news today. Yes, the impeachment took place. I get that. But McConnell is basically saying, yep, guys, this isn't going anywhere. Sorry, stick a fork in it. It's done.
Well, absolutely. And we just have to hope that stays the course. He stays the course and we get through this next week. And as I heard you say earlier, there's not going to be any surprises whether we want them or not. And the course is pretty well laid out, and it's going to be up to us to respond to it and choose how we proceed.
I agree, which leads us into, you know, individuals listening. And there's a lot of folks, Richard, really, that I think are struggling with all that's happened. And I get it, Richard. A lot of folks put a lot of time and energy into, you know, elections and getting their family and friends rallied. And I get it. Anytime you lose, it's never fun to lose, period. I mean, that's part of what we go through as humans. Losing stinks. Let's face it. It really does. But at the end of the day, we still have to be confident. We got to move ahead. We got to realize there's a new day tomorrow. And I said this the other day. You know, the sun keeps coming up every morning. At least it does in my part of the world. And you know what? We got to just keep fighting the battle and move forward.
Well, that's absolutely true. And one of the most disheartening things that I've been hearing are people that say they're going to quit being involved.
Right.
And in my opinion, it's imperative that we become even better citizens than we've been before. We have to be more involved.
Yes.
From school board to textbook selection to city, county, state, not only just federal. And none of us can do everything, but each of us can do one more thing than we've been doing. And that's what we have to do to maintain our citizenship and not be the ruled from the rulers.
Yeah, and you know, it's in my notes with you, and we talk about this stuff all of the time, Richard, but, you know, it becomes meaning, or it means, let me say this correctly, it means becoming an overcomer and not a victim. And I think giving up proves you're the victim, not the overcomer.
Absolutely, and that was one of the chapters I put in Navigating Life's Journey, because there's been a movement the last several years to create victims and make people feel it's okay to become a victim.
Right.
And a lot of times they don't realize what they give up, their independence, their self-reliance, their free choice. They give up so many things when they take the easy course to be a victim, whereas the overachievers, they fight. They want that independence and freedom and the choice and independence. That's what our ancestors, our fathers and mothers and grandparents, they had that, and we have to restore that, and we have to fight back and gain that self-reliance back in our lives.
You know, and as a country, Richard, and by the way, I appreciate everything you just said, because I think it's very true and appropriate for where we're at today, and I honestly get tired of a lot of the naysayers that say, well, the Republic is dead. We're done as a country. Stick a fork in it. I've seen things on social media, you know, grave markers where, you know, born 1776, died, you know, 2021. And Richard, I don't believe any of that. I do think that if we do the things you're talking about, we get involved, you know, we can win this thing back over. I don't see it being done yet. I guess I have confidence that we can overcome and be the nation that I believe God wants us to be. And I also know, Richard, if we look back in history, we've had these moments in time before. This isn't the first time we've had to do this.
Well, absolutely. And I think back to my grandparents who went through the Spanish flu, World War One, the Depression, World War Two, the Cold War. As a young child, I can remember the drills at school, hiding under the desk and watching the television at night and them talking about the imminent nuclear attack and scaring the bejesus out of everybody about the imminent nuclear war. And so we've been through much tougher things than we're going through now. And hopefully we won't go through anything tougher than we're going through right now. But we can survive.
Yeah, and you know, and that's an old saying too, Richard, that, you know, those that can work hard, those that are working smart, you know, there's always a way, you know, to outfox, if you would, you know, those individuals that are in power. And I guess that's why, for me personally, I'm not going to hide, run, stick my head in the sand and just hope that life passes by. No, you've got to attack this thing, you know, head first and be smarter than the next guy and try to figure out how to do better than everyone else. And that's how we survive, thrive, and move forward. And Richard, I mean, I can use examples of even, you know, the underground church in China, which right now, even though China is, you know, really coming down hard on those individuals, the church itself is flourishing because of what I just said.
Absolutely, and we have to find those ways to adapt to the situation as it comes. There'll be new sources spring up, regardless of the censorship. There'll be ways for people to get information and share ideas. If they restrict the economy, there'll be black markets thrive.
Right.
There'll be ways
that
people can live and survive. We may just have to adapt more than we've done in the past.
Well, it's funny you say that. I consult an individual, been a longtime listener, and he just started a new business where he does some IT work and, you know, works with everyone from small businesses to churches to, you know, charter schools and so on. And I told him today, I said, listen, hey, you've got a business now that I feel could really thrive in the coming months. And that's by going to these individuals that do not want to be on these, you know, Amazon servers and the like, you know, get to the point where they could even be set up on their own, which, by the way, isn't that difficult, where you're not relying on someone else and their infrastructure. Build your own. He's got a great opportunity in front of him to go out and do just that, Richard. And in his world, he's looking for a great 2021, not a bad one.
That is a great example, and I think we'll see that in all facets of the economy. We see banks restricting whose deposits they'll take. They're going to suffer if they restrict certain people's deposits, because I know I'll be looking for a new bank.
Me too.
Mine doesn't allow deposits of certain people. The same with other business people. Every time I hear a business say they're not allowing certain people to do business with them, it just makes me want to go someplace else and look for somebody that wants my business.
Well, and what you're saying there is you're taking responsibility for the choices that you're making, which is what each and every one of us has to do. And while there is outside influences, and I understand that, Richard, there's always outside influences. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we have to be better than those outside influences, better, smarter, faster, stronger. And I believe we have the ability to do that, but you have to do it. You got to put the wheels in motion.
Well, and I think the first thing we have to start with is a positive attitude that we are going to survive and thrive. We have to anticipate the challenges that are coming. We have to see them as quickly as possible and make the moves to adapt to them as quickly as possible so that we can thrive the best way possible through any changes that come that are beyond our control.
And that's where, Richard, and you know this as well as I, that's where the, you know, small to medium-sized companies can typically make those changes faster. So whether you own one or you work for one, you actually have the ability to control your destiny in that world far better than the large Fortune 500 companies do.
Yes, and it's not the big companies that eat the small. It's the fast companies that eat the slow.
That's right.
And it's the same thing with individuals. The individuals that can see and adapt quicker will do better. And it takes, like I say, it takes the attitude and the recognition that we have to adapt first.
Richard, we've seen years after years after years, and I say years plural because literally you can see examples all the way back in time where, you know, it's not always the individual that has the highest education. It's not always the individual that came from the wealthiest home. It's typically individuals that, you know, have set their course. They know where they're going. They work hard. They work harder than the next guy. Even though they may not be smarter than the next guy, they have figured out how to get ahead by doing the things you're talking about. And those examples go all the way back to the beginning of time.
Well, absolutely. And there's always people who know how to live on the streets. And generally, it's people that learn that by doing, not learn it in a classroom. And the people that are the most educated a lot of times are the least adaptable when situations like this occur.
Yep, well said. All right, give us a good story out of the book, Navigating, if you would. Give us Navigating Life's Challenges. Give us an example out of the book that folks can look at.
Well, in the chapter about being an overcomer versus a victim, I cite Travis Mills. And as a 25-year-old soldier, he was involved in a blast and was a quadruple amputee. And if anyone had the opportunity to check out or to go, woe is me, it would have been him. Hmm. But he regained his life, his attitude, his desire to win and help other people as a speaker. And two of the things he does that I think is so great for him as well as for us, he talks about not dwelling on the past because none of us can change it. And he talks about the only thing we can control is our attitude. And it's so true. And it doesn't take long for us to see someone like Travis Mills or other people who are worse off than we are. And if we have those positive type attitudes, we can live our best and fullest life.
Again, folks, it's Richard Battle, Navigating Life's Journey. Make sure I say that exactly the way it's titled on the book, so you can find that. Amazon.com, by the way, is a great place to find that. Common Sense in Uncommon Times. And Richard, I don't know when you decided to do the book and then title it what you did, but boy, we are, I believe, right now very much in uncommon times.
Yes, and I think we'd all like to go back to common times, but it may be a little while.
Yeah, and you know what? It may never be that again. And again, what we said earlier and what we've been talking about is we adapt, we move forward, we figure out how to make things work regardless of those circumstances. And at the end of the day, we will be the survivors, not the other.
Absolutely. And it's we have a great deal of influence. We can't control everything, but we need to control the things we can control.
Well said. Richard, as always, I appreciate it. I love talking to you. Have a fabulous week, and we'll talk again next week.
Thank you, John, and God bless America.
Appreciate it. I appreciate it very much. Richard Battle again. You can find all of his information, all of his books, I should say. If you just Google Richard Battle, you'll find everything about him you need to. It's really easy that way. Just Richard Battle, just like it sounds. Just Google him, and you'll find everything about Richard and what he has to offer. RoofMax is up next, folks. And Dave Hart has got a great company and a great product in that he can rejuvenate your roof. This is a new product. It's not been around for a super long time, especially here in Colorado. It's very new to us in Colorado, but it's perfect for what we have in Colorado when it comes to our roofs. Roofs today, shingles, do not have the same asphalt content they once did, which means in our elevation with the UV rays and so on and the dryness, they crack and they basically fail sooner than they used to. Well, he's got a product that will rejuvenate those shingles. I'm going to get my roof inspected by Dave tomorrow. And I tell you what, it is a fabulous product. So if you want a free roof inspection and find out if you're a good candidate for RoofMax, call Dave today, 303-710-6916.
RoofMax in South Aurora keeps your roof going strong with roof rejuvenation. Modern asphalt shingles are manufactured with less oil than they used to be, so they dry out sooner, leaving them brittle and unable to expand and contract with the extreme temperature swings. Especially here on the Front Range, where your roof handles high elevation sun, UV exposure, and severe spring and summertime storms, along with more than twice the national average snowfall, your shingles wear out even faster. Roof rejuvenation with RoofMax could save you up to 85%. Just one application of their all-natural bio oil immediately adds 5 years to your roof, guaranteed. With up to three applications every 5 years, RoofMax could help your roof last 15 years longer. Save thousands of dollars by extending the life of your roof instead of replacing it. Call Dave Hart with RoofMax in South Aurora now at 303-710-6916.
Mighty Hand Construction is next. If you need something in northern Colorado, whether you want to do a remodel, expansion, basement refinish, whatever it happens to be, Mighty Hand is the place to go. Find them at klzradio.com or 970-844-9191.
The team at Mighty Hand gets back to you. A lot of mom-and-pop construction companies don't have large enough teams to call you back promptly. the same guy probably works as both the foreman and the salesperson, so he simply doesn't have the time. Micah Applegate, owner of Mighty Hand Construction in Fort Collins, has a team of dedicated project managers who will make sure you have a solid estimate on your remodeling project within a couple of weeks, at the latest. As a full-service construction company with nothing but 5-star reviews, Mighty Hand prides themselves on their timely responses. Micah and his team run a well-organized business with designated shop managers, their own delivery trucks and equipment, subcontractors they trust, and experienced foremen who will oversee every detail of your project. Visit klzradio.com/mightyhand for custom real estate modification in Northern Colorado. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, Kurt Rogers, who would give you a free evaluation of where you're at with your mortgage and what he can do to help you save money. Or if you want to pay for some of those upgrades we've just talked about, he can do that as well. 720-895-0500. That's Kurt Rogers at Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. And I always appreciate Richard Battle and just his outlook on life. And if you don't know much about Richard, look some of the information up about him and some of the adversity and things that he has gone through. And just a great guy. So has a great outlook, and I appreciate him joining us greatly. So just a little tidbit of information. We've got a guest joining us here shortly, so I'll give you a little preview of that as well. So some of you that maybe have had some issues in your home, even kids or grandkids even, I should say. We've got Susan Burroughs joining us in a minute, author of Off the Rails, One Family's Journey Through Teen Addiction. Now, it's something that, quite honestly, a lot of folks deal with. And knock on wood, I was fortunate enough to raise kids where I did not have to deal with any of these things. But, you know, this is something that can affect any family out there. So we will talk to Susan here in just a few minutes. Where I'm going with that is if you've got somebody you know is affected by this, you may want to have them tune in at about 4:30. We'll be talking to Susan and get some tips on just teenage struggles with addiction, especially during the holiday COVID season. So in other factoids, I found this interesting because I did not know this. Colorado was an early adopter of roundabouts, which, by the way, I despise. Why do I despise them? Because they are about as bad as four-way stops in the fact that no one that gets in one understands how they work. But now motorists across the U.S. are literally driving in circles because of cities like Golden and Vail that pioneered, in the U.S. at least, roundabouts. Those came from Europe, actually. We decided, I guess, in certain cities, Golden and Vail being one of them, to bring them in. Roundabouts, in my opinion, now some could argue this, but they are designed to slow traffic down, not bring it to a complete stop, therefore keeping things moving, and away we go. That's all fine and dandy if people that are using them understand how they work. Problem is, they don't necessarily keep speed, you know, traffic rolling along in a timely fashion. Why? Because people stop. They do things in them they're not supposed to. They don't know how to get in and out of them. And in my opinion, they are one of the, if not the biggest albatrosses we have. I know there's traffic engineers out there that would probably argue with me on that one. But if you could get people to drive through them properly, yeah, great, fine. I'm in. Problem is, they don't. There's widely circulated as evidence that they not only enhance flow while reducing speed and result in improved safety, but can also contribute to commercial success. By the way, I firmly disagree with that. I don't believe that statement is true. I'd like to see the data that roundabouts are good for business. I don't believe that's the case. Some of you that maybe have more experience with this than I can, you know, send me a text message and let me know some real data on this. But the general public didn't understand the concept and why it's safer. It's a safer intersection type than a four-way stop. By the way, I do believe they're safer than a four-way stop because, by the way, nobody at a four-way stop knows how they work. I shouldn't say nobody, but the majority of people at a four-way stop have no idea how they work. Everybody's waving for the next guy to go when, in fact, you're probably the guy that should be going. But that's another talk for another day. I am a despiser of roundabouts. I always have been, and I most likely always will be. I think they're dopey. I think that's a European thing we as Americans wanted to adopt. I think they're dumb. I think they're stupid. I don't like them. You could go back to a traffic light or something along those lines. I think there's better ways to do things. In my opinion, I know this is going to sound outlandish, but in my opinion, roundabouts are from the left. I'm just going to say it. I think roundabouts have come here from the left. They love them. They think they're great. It's some European thing. I am not a fan, as you can tell, of roundabouts. So stay tuned. We're going to have our next guest on momentarily. We'll talk about teen addiction. Purify Chevrolet, those coming up next. We heard from Bob a few minutes ago. If there's anything, by the way, you need when it comes to newer used cars, they've got you covered. Everything they've got on the lot has been thoroughly inspected. They don't put junk on the lot. Everything they've got, they stand behind. That's on the used side. And, of course, on the new side, Chevrolet's come with a full 3-year, 36,000-mile warranty. So it's find new roads, Purify Chevrolet. Find them at purifychevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
My first name is Steve, and I began going to Purify in 1993. And even though I live 45 minutes away, I've never gone to another dealership. And I bought 5 cars from them over the years, all Corvettes. My overall impression has always been the same, and that is that they're a small town dealership. They're a dealership in a small town, but they're really as professional and courteous and as concerned with their customer satisfaction as any dealership or any business I've ever been to before. Just about everybody that you run into there just makes you feel like family. And why would you not want to deal with somebody like that? We've all been to places where you walk in the door and you realize that whoever it is you're talking to really doesn't care. You're just somebody they want to get out before 5 o'clock so they can go home. And in this day and age of technology and, you know, all the stuff that we've got going on that says you've got to get people out the door to make money, that's just a breath of fresh air. It's a hurricane of fresh air to go up and deal with Raleigh and his staff. They're just wonderful, wonderful people.
Hi, I'm Raleigh Purefoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purefoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith wants to make sure that you have a financial future, that you get there and stay there and have purpose when you finally get to retirement. Talk to Al today, 303-744-1128, 303-744-1128, or better yet, just find him at klzradio.com.
Saving for retirement is not the same thing as having a retirement plan. Al Smith, founder of Golden Eagle Financial, helps people near and in retirement who have already saved up the money they need, but who haven't really thought about what comes next. You wouldn't hop in the car for a 2-week vacation with no destination in mind. You wouldn't hire a new employee without a job description. You shouldn't retire without a clear idea about how you're going to collect the money you've been diligently saving all your adult life. As soon as you retire, your focus shifts from saving money to making money last. Your risk tolerance changes. You need a financial advisor who specializes in wealth preservation, not wealth accumulation. Set up a free consultation with Golden Eagle Financial at klzradio.com/money, and Al Smith will help you create a plan. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, we'll get our special guest on in just one moment. Before that, though, Mike and Aurora joining us. Mike, welcome. How are you, sir?
Oh, fine. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I hate those roundabouts.
Oh,
and
they're awful.
You're right. People don't. Yeah, and you're right. People don't know how to handle a four-way stop, but still I would take one of those over the roundabout.
I guess to me, Mike, the roundabout, you're driving in circles. Most people get into them. They don't know how to get out of them. They don't know when to get into them. It's almost like that revolving door into a building that nobody knows when to step into.
Or a rat maze.
Right. Yeah, I hate them.
I think you're right. Also, I think they're a lefty thing.
I do too. It's some conglomeration they think is great, and they salute it and whatever. I don't care for them.
I think the first time I came in encounter with one of those is in Golden. They redid it.
Yep, that was one of the first places in Colorado they came to. You're correct.
Oh man, I went crazy. I just got out of that as fast as I
can't blame you. Mike, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for the call. I do appreciate it very much. Susan Burroughs joining us now. Susan, welcome to Rush to Reason, author of Off the Rails, One Family's Journey Through Teen Addiction. I promoted you a few minutes ago, too. Susan told people to, if they had any kind of things like this going on, in their families, grandkids, friends, whatever, to tune in. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, John.
All right, so talk to us. I know this is a big deal. I raised a bunch of kids, 7 to be exact. Knock on wood, my youngest now is 28, didn't have any of these struggles, fortunately, although, Susan, I know this can happen to any family at any time because nobody's immune from this.
Oh, that's so true. But 7 kids, congratulations to you, John. You did a great job.
Well, thank you. And, felt like if we kept them, made them great citizens and, they all could, learn how to work and have jobs. And, again, Susan, I'm not an expert. I am not a psychologist by any means, but I will tell you, and just my piece of advice to anybody listening, for me personally, Susan, the busier we kept the kids, the more we made them have to actually work and, in a way, pay their way, if you would, there really wasn't much time to get involved with some of the things you and I are going to talk about.
Oh, absolutely. And, one of the ways that we deflect our kids away from drugs is to keep them busy, to help them find hobbies, and that is part of early intervention. So if you do see, if you are worried, then you might want to think about increasing the amount of activity and responsibilities that your kids are involved in. But I do want to say that it's not that way for everybody, John, because sometimes you have your kids lots of activities. And, one thing we don't want to do is to guilt parents who might be working with dual diagnosis or unfortunately maybe fell into the wrong peer group.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you just stated that, because I do think that's one of the other things that, we as parents really have to pay attention to. And man, it's hard, Susan. I appreciate what you just said, because nobody's immune from having, their kids fall into the trap of what we're talking about today. And yet I will tell you, man alive, I watched every single kid our kids knew, hung out with. I felt like I needed eyes in the back of my head to see everything that was going on, because to me, the biggest threat, this is just me, the biggest threat I felt that we had as a family were those outside other kid influences.
Sure. They're going through a time in their life when they're very connected to their peers, and their peers are actually the group that influences them the most. So that was a wise move on your part, for sure.
So what are some of the, right now we've gone through the holidays, we've got COVID that's been going on, which by the way, we've even had letters in Colorado written from students to our governor, talking about COVID and getting classes back, in-person classes back up and running and all these different things. Susan, I've got to believe that with what we've gone through with COVID, the holidays and so on, that also has put on a whole nother layer of pressure upon certain teens.
Oh, absolutely. Let's think about our teens. They're bored, they're lonely, they're isolated. Some of them have lost those jobs you were talking about. They've lost their rituals. They've lost their graduation and 4th of July and all of the things that they look forward to. And then on top of that, about 6% of people experience seasonal depression and that peer pressure we were talking about. And of course, You just have to say it, especially today. We are living in a tumultuous world, and our teens are feeling it. They feel it more than we do. Their judgment and impulse control is not as developed as an adult. So they do tend to react emotionally and react in a way that's more intense than adults do.
Okay, so, and by the way, everything you just said, fully agree with. What are the warning signs, though? We're talking about this, the things that are going on, isolation, which for anyone, Susan, whether you're a teen or an adult, is we are human, you know, human beings. We are meant to socialize and be with one another. That's where I think a lot of the COVID things we've done, shutdowns and the like, are not helping us as human beings. That's my take. Again, I'm not a psychologist, but I know enough about human nature to know we like socialization. And unfortunately, social media has made socialization worse, not better. So we've got kids now isolated. What are the warning signs parents need to be looking for?
It's a great question. And a lot of the warning signs, unfortunately, look like regular sulky teen behaviors, but bigger. So if you know that your teen is making secretive calls and lying or have a sudden slip in grades, a change in appearance, a change in peer group, and those are all things that tend to happen as teens go into high school.
Okay.
But then there's some of the sort of secondary warning signs, like trouble staying focused, extreme moodiness or hyperactivity or lethargy, and weight gain or loss. And then finally, the most serious signs is if you see nosebleeds and runny noses, if you see pupils that are dilated or pinpoint. Of course, if you find drug paraphernalia in the rooms or empty beer cans. And then unfortunately, the thing that brought us out of denial as a family was finding bloody Band-Aids in the bathroom from cutting.
Got it.
So those are all bad things to look
Susan,
for.
I'm going to be blunt because I've always wondered, I still wonder this today, and it's one of the things that in my mind I've never been able to wrap my head around is, you know, how do not just teenagers, but in general people that use drugs cost money. They're not free. They're not cheap. In fact, in a lot of cases, they're very expensive. Where do the resources for, you know, not only teenagers, but others that get addicted to drugs, where do those, you know, where's the cash come from, I guess is what I'm saying?
Well, you know, a lot of these teens romanticize substance use. So I have heard a lot of teens who are proud of the fact that they have never, and brag about the fact that they've never paid for drugs. Of course, to be equally blunt, they pay for it in other ways, especially the young women who are using drugs.
Okay.
And otherwise, we have trades, we have, you know, a barter system, and we have kids who have jobs. So all of those things lend to the problem. There's also something that we all have to think of as parents, and that is that we have a lot of substances in the house. So from
true.
That broken arm that you had,
true.
You still have those pain pills
that's
in
true.
Your cabinet. Over the holidays, did you, you know, was alcohol front and center out on the kitchen counter or at your bar? So, I mean, there are ways that teens have to also, you know, access that. And, you know, if the vodka bottle is half vodka and half water, you're probably not going to know about it. So that's something I'll just put out there.
No, I appreciate that because, again, I am probably as naive to a lot of this as anyone. I'm going to be frank, Susan. I mean, I've never done drugs. In fact, in a lot of cases have certain drugs, never even seen them firsthand. I mean, here in Colorado, yeah, we've all seen marijuana because of the state that we're in. But in my world, you know, cocaine, heroin, things along those lines, I frankly, Susan, I'm naive. I wouldn't know most of those substances other than what you see on TV. I wouldn't know them if I found them. I am that naive, which, by the way, probably doesn't help.
Well, I mean, I respect you for that, but we have to also acknowledge that one out of every 10 people have increased their use of substances. This is adult.
One out of 10.
So we know, during the pandemic. Wow. So and since last March. So we know that it's available and it's there and it's in the home. I also want to say that because my daughter had a dual diagnosis, we were in double trouble. So she was given lithium for a misdiagnosis of bipolar disorder. So we have to look at the way our children's prescriptions are also interacting with other drugs that they may be taking recreationally.
And I would think, Susan, that we as parents would expect, you know, our doctors and the people that, that are helping us through these things to know that. But I guess what you're telling me is they may not know and or may not be much of a help if they don't know what's going on.
Yes, that's correct. So, you know, being aware and watching for those signs and being a little paranoid is not necessarily a bad thing in a parent.
How
would you know if a couple pills were missing from your prescription? Maybe
not. Most would not know. So Susan, again, this is Susan Burroughs, and by the way, you can find Susan just by going to susanburroughs.com. It's B-U-R-R-O-W-E-S. So any of you out there that are listening that have kids, teenagers, grandkids, I would encourage you to go to the website and just learn some of the things that we're talking about. Susan, this is, and I believe what you said a moment ago, this can affect any family, anytime. I don't care how well. I mean, I really feel, Susan, I was lucky as a parent. I mean, we didn't encounter these things. I don't think it was anything special that I did other than I, you know, probably ruled with an iron fist, which, you know, maybe has its other repercussions, but I don't want to take any credit for what happened. We just, you know, got lucky, I think, more than anything. So there's a lot of great information that you have, and this was something that affected, you know, you and your family. But a question that I have for you is, you know, how intrusive should parents get when it comes to the fact-finding of what's going on in this area?
Well, you have to weigh that, I think, with the lack of trust that can result from being too intrusive. And of course, starting these conversations early and regularly and normalizing conversations about drugs and their effects and what can happen, providing books, providing literature is all a really valid way to start a conversation. And I just want to throw out there that 85% of people who were surveyed know somebody with addiction issues in the family. So my hat's off to you, John. I'm sure you say luck, and I say probably there's plenty of skill involved as well. But my point is that somebody you know, somebody in your family, the neighbors, somebody is going through this.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we really want to be careful to do is to say, let's take the stigma out of it. Let's help lift each other up.
Agree.
Let's look out for each
other's right.
Kids.
And I do
and
feel, Susan, I appreciate what you said, but no, I feel very lucky. I think the Lord watched over us, you know, very greatly. And even with all of the, you know, stupid things I did as a parent, I never had to go down this path, which I'm very thankful for. But I appreciate what you're saying. I know a lot of other people have and are as we speak. It's why you're here right now. And it may not even be your kid. It may be your grandchild. I mean, I've got grandkids that will have to be, you know, they're getting older as we speak right now, Susan, and growing up. And those are things that I think even grandparents worry about that are listening right now.
And I do want to say to those people who are in it, you know, that there is another side to it, and that it may not be the first time you address it, but certainly there will be a last time you address it, and to stick by it and, you know, to do your best and to stay strong.
So let's talk about that healing process for a moment. So, you know, folks have gone through this. They have found out these different things. They've worked through even getting their kids help and, you know, getting on the right path. How do they get past all of this to where the family unit is still there at the end of the day?
Well, for us, it was very helpful to have professional intervention because we were in denial for so long, God help us, that we had to take advantage of professional intervention.
Okay.
And then when local resources didn't help, we went to some extreme programs. And I want to urge your listeners not to go to extreme programs until you think that your child will hurt themselves or hurt others if you don't. But we were in a very serious situation, and we had a lot of therapy as a family. So we had therapy together, we had therapy all alone, we had different mix-ups and mash-ups of therapy. And we took the same kind of therapy. We read all the same books together, and we tried to duplicate her experience in the program as much as possible.
Okay.
So what I'm saying is that validating what your kid is going through is probably the best way to not only stay close to them, keep an eye on the situation, and make it through to the other side, is to just, you know, just validate what they're going through. You might say, you have it great. They may not feel that way. So, you know, you can encourage, as you said, distance from peers who might not be healthy, distractions with hobbies, professional help, as I mentioned, or also even encouraging self-care, you know, nutrition, exercise, sleep, those sorts of things, a healthy lifestyle.
Okay.
So, and that can be a purpose of it on its own.
Susan, I do appreciate you joining us today. Again, folks, SusanBurrows.com, B-U-R-R-O-W-E-S. The book is Off the Rails, One Family's Journey Through Teen Addiction. How do you get the book, Susan?
Well, you can get it on Amazon, an independent bookseller, through Barnes & Noble, and through my website. I think there's a button there.
Okay.
And John, may I give just one resource
sure.
to your listeners?
Sure, please.
If you have a kid that needs an AA meeting, Recover Together is sponsored by Google. So you can just Google Recover Together,
okay.
and they'll give you a list of online AA meetings. And if things are bad, if things are serious, call for help at 1-800-662-HELP. That's 1-800-662-HELP. That's the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration. They do about 70,000 referrals a month. So
wow.
you're not alone, and they have some good resources for you.
Great.
They wish everybody lots of luck.
Susan, thank you so much. I appreciate it. Have a great evening, and we'll have you back. I really appreciate it very much.
Oh, thank you, John.
Thank you, Susan. Again, it's SusanBurrows.com. And that phone number again, if your teen does need help, 1-800-662-HELP. 1-800-662-HELP. We'll be right back. Bruce Simmons is coming up next. He is our reverse mortgage specialist. Anything you need to know about a reverse mortgage, he's the guy to ask. 303-467-7821 or find him at klzradio.com.
Owning a relatively high-value home does not make you immune to cash flow problems. It's more expensive to maintain and insure. Property taxes seem to go up every year. And of course, you may have a sizable mortgage payment to make every month. You don't want to sell, but you wish you had a little more margin in your budget. As long as you continue to pay your taxes and insurance, a reverse mortgage with KLZ's Bruce Simmons could give you the financial cushion you need. Thanks to recent changes by the Federal Housing Administration, you may be able to eliminate your monthly mortgage payment, setting you up comfortably for as long as you live in the home. Starting in January of 2021, homeowners 62 years and older with higher value homes may tap into a larger portion of their equity, giving them a better chance of qualifying for the loan. Get in touch with Colorado's first certified reverse mortgage specialist now at klzradio.com/reverse.
All right, a good shop. If you've been involved in an accident and want that vehicle fixed and you want it to be as good as new or better, that's a good shop. Three locations to serve you. Go to klzradio.com or 720-541-7697.
After a collision, you want to take your vehicle to a certified shop that specializes in auto body work. Al Sturm and his team at a good shop hear from a lot of people who think you need to go back to the dealership for auto body work. But just like John Rush has been telling you, many dealerships don't even do auto body work. Dealerships focus on sales. So in some cases, they don't even have the certifications and equipment required for quality collision repair. Al used to work for the dealerships before founding a good shop in North Glen in Commerce City. So he knows from experience that many dealerships farm your vehicle out to some other shop where you have no control over the process. You're just a number to them. That's why Al and his team at A Good Shop are proud to run an independent, certified collision repair center where they specialize in auto body work. Schedule an estimate with A Good Shop now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
Rather than struggling, you can expand your business with John Rush as your personal business coach. No matter what business you're in, it's always a mistake to wait, hold off, and see what happens. Now is the time to move forward. Two of John's clients are expanding right now, moving into new industries because they see an opportunity. John believes that as long as you fill a need, there's no reason not to grow. Send an email to John at rushtoreason.com and run your ideas by him today.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Joe joining us now. Joe, welcome. How are you, sir?
John, I'm good. How you doing?
I am very good, sir. Thank you.
Hey, John, just a comment on your previous guest. You know, she was dealing, her book deals with what to do after your child has developed a problem.
Right.
I want to make a recommendation to how to head that off. You know, and this is for parents who have daughters. If you have the means and your daughter has any inclination to become involved in horses or riding,
I've yet
to see a young girl who's been involved in horses wind up with a problem. They become barn rats. By the way, it's typically an environment that's free of young boys. It's all girls. It becomes their social circle. And even if you're only paying for two or three lessons a week, the barn will welcome them 7 days a week. There's always horses to be brushed, and it becomes their own after school. And I've had, countless female relatives, nieces, nephews, even my wife when she was younger. So if you have financial means and you have a female child that shows any inclination to become involved with horses, you know, foot the bill, do it. You'll never have a problem with drugs or alcohol or premarital sex. Because the barn will become their after-school life. So.
And Joe, I think in defense of parents that have girls, sometimes the girls get left out because if they've got brothers, you know, brothers are usually, not always, but usually playing sports, and there's a lot of involvement with the family around all of that. And sometimes, you know, the girl sort of, in a way, gets left out. And what you're just saying there is that's a great way to get them involved in something that, you know, maybe they're not great in sports. Maybe they're not going to make the cheerleading squad, but they can go do that.
Yes, and trust me, if some of these barns, these commercial barns, fine, maybe you only take them three lessons a week, you know, for $20 a lesson, but the barn will welcome your daughter. Hey, there's always horses to be brushed groomed and tripped. They will welcome your child there 7 days a week.
Yeah, they could live there. They wouldn't care.
they would love it. There's always something to do in a barn. They'll hand them a broom, sweep the floor, so your child can
clean out a stall, feed them, whatever, Joe. There's always, they're a living organism. It needs care all the time.
Yeah, and the barn, the commercial, you know, riding stable will.
It's a great tip, Joe. I'm glad you mentioned that. And by the way, here in Colorado, especially folks, all everywhere. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're on the west side of town, east side of town, up north, down south. I mean, there are typically places. You know, this is a big, big horse town, horse community, if you would, Joe. Literally, we've got them everywhere.
That's correct. You just look on, you Google riding stables, and you'll. Within Denver,
even in the downtown Denver, you're within 10 minutes or so from probably anywhere around that you can go find a riding stable.
Absolutely, John, you're absolutely correct. You know, there's down in Cherry Creek, there's out in Aurora, there's several up in Golden, and it's the best environment. And again, it also tends to be a boy-free environment.
That's a great idea, Joe. No, it really is. That's a great idea. So, no, thanks for that tip. That's fabulous. And again, you know me. I'm one that if you can keep the kids busy, it just keeps them out of trouble.
It does, yeah. They become, and all their friends are there. When I say friends, all their female friends are there.
Right.
It becomes an after-school social thing. Sometimes they'll just be sitting around chatting, and they'll talk about horses and new boots and where'd you get those riding pants. And it's just
good stuff.
A great way to spend
that's
the
perfect
time.
That's great. Joe, thank you. I appreciate that very much. Great stuff. Have a great evening. We'll come right back. Franktown Firearms is coming up next. By the way, another great avenue for folks to get into, even as a hobby. I know the Second Amendment's not a hobby. I'm not saying that. But for a lot of folks, it can be. There are, you know, shooting competitions for all ages and things along those lines that you can get your young person involved in, or you yourself can as well. And it's just a great thing to get into. And mean, I'm one that says every child, as far as I'm concerned, I know some would disagree, but every child should know how to shoot. And frankly, I think they should know from a very early age, and I'm talking 5-6 years of age, should know how to shoot and handle a gun. The earlier they know, the safer they will be the rest of their life, and Franktown Firearms will back me up on that. Find them at klzradio.com or 720-770-7777.
You're shooting on the range at Franktown Firearms and something goes wrong with your gun. A jammed round. Maybe you're having trouble picking up your sights. So you walk on over to the gunsmithing department at the back of the store and one of the gunsmiths on staff takes a look at your firearm. A few minutes later, you're back to firing on the range with a functional gun. Because they've earned the designation Stocking Dealer for Glock and Sig Sauer, as well as Master Dealer for Ruger and Smith & Wesson, Franktown Firearms has more guns in stock. Because they maintain good relationships with their suppliers, they consistently bring in ammo so it's available for you to practice on the range. If it's not in stock, rest assured more will be inbound soon. And as a shooting range with a full-service gunsmithing department on site, Franktown Firearms has the capacity to get your gun back faster. Sign up for a membership today at klzradio.com/franktown and receive $50 off your initiation fee, plus your first month free.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. All right, going to switch gears here at the top of the hour. I've got somebody coming on air that will probably surprise a lot of you. This is Steve. I think his last name is Malink. It's M-E-L-I-N-K. We'll find out exactly how to pronounce that. But he's author of Fusion Capitalism, A Clean Energy Vision for Conservatives. Now, I prefaced all of this and even let these guys know on the front side that, you know, this is going to be a hard sell on my end. But I guess prove to me that clean energy is actually a direction we should head. So this will be an interesting conversation we have in just a few minutes. We'll keep it nice and sane and fun, and maybe I'll learn something as well, and you might also. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Hour 3 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.